And now, today's word.
There are things that hinder grace. The first one that hinders grace is having a haughty and proud spirit. A haughty and proud spirit. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 to 7. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Now, I like how the Bible puts it. It starts and says, younger people, submit to older people. Then he says, yes, all of you submit to one another. So it's not one way. It's like that verse in Ephesians that says, wives, submit to your husband. Before it says, wives, submit to your husband, it says, submit to one another. Submission is not one way. You know, there are men who believe, you know, my wife must submit. My wife must not submit. That's a woman's job, must submit. But read the verse above. Before you say, my wife must submit, it says, we must submit one to another. All right, so, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders, which is good. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now, if you look at the verse, it's very interesting how pride is positioned. It says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Therefore, now therefore means because God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble, therefore, so therefore is deriving from God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. How do you do that? Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So the Bible is saying, when you don't trust God with all your problems, it's pride. When you don't come to God and say, Lord, I trust you to solve all this problem. I believe you can do it, Lord. And you cast all your care upon him and you depend on him. That's humility. But when you say, Lord, you know, I have a few degrees and I have a few connections. So you just wait. I'm trusting you, but you just give me some time and I'll fix this thing and just show you that I'm truly your son. And God says, when you try to fix all your problems and don't cast your cares upon him, you are proud and God will resist you. So pride, according to this passage, is trusting yourself more than God. Trusting in people more than God. Trusting in human systems more than God. If God says, my son, I am the Lord that heals you. You say, yeah, it's in the Bible. And then your doctor says, oh, don't worry. Your case will be good. Everything will be okay. And then you become very excited because your doctor told you you are all right. But when God said you are all right, you say, yeah. I know it's in the Bible, but the doctor's word is more important than God's word. You haven't cast all your care upon him, and the Bible calls that pride. Pride is when you think you can do it all by yourself, when you depend on yourself and not God. Does it mean we shouldn't work hard? Yes, work hard. Does it mean you don't go to the hospital? Go to the hospital. But at the end of the day, you know God is my healer. He may use paracetamol or he may use some other surgery, but at the end, my glory is going to God. When I go for the surgery and I get well, I'm not going to say, oh, all glory to Dr. So-and-so. You're going to say, all glory to God, because he is the source of my healing. Pride is when we give glory to other beings. When we think our way is better than God. And sometimes pride is when you think you are not good enough for God. Pride is when God says, I'm going to use you to do great things. And you say, God, I don't think you can. Look at me. I am not worthy. God says, I will use you. But I can't. That's pride. He says you can. You say you can. You are resisting the word of God. Pride is when you think your thinking about yourself is better than God's thinking about yourself. The Bible, God says, what God has cleansed, let no man call unclean. You may have had the worst story of life. And everybody remembers your past. But the day you gave your life to Jesus Christ, your sins were washed away. And you walk out of here and you say, I'm just a sinner. You are not just a sinner. You have been washed by the blood of Jesus. And what God has cleansed, let no man call unclean. If you continue to call yourself unclean when God has cleansed you, that's pride. If God says you are the head and you say, but I'm the tail, that's pride. So that's a... When we don't come into agreement with what God says about us, we would hinder His grace in our lives. We'll frustrate His grace. When He makes grace available and we don't use it, we frustrate His grace. Having a haughty and proud spirit. Second thing, all married people, listen to this. It will frustrate grace in your life. Constant insensitivity in marriage. Constant insensitivity, especially from husbands. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Husbands. All husbands say, amen. Amen. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them, your wives, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Giving honor to your wife as to the weaker vessel. He didn't say bullying your wife because she's the weaker vessel. Looking down on your wife because she is weaker. Disrespecting your wife because she is weaker. The Bible said because she's a weaker vessel, not a weaker person, but a weaker vessel. Her body doesn't have the muscles you have. Because she doesn't have the physique you have, honor her. Because if you don't, you would hinder the grace of God upon your life. Your prayers will not be answered. I know the man, I can hear your brain is clicking. Where is that coming from? It's from the Bible. Now, why is that so? Because grace is hindered when you deny grace to others. Grace is hindered when you deny grace to others. If a husband doesn't show grace to the wife, he is denying grace to himself. So your wife comes home, he says, sweetheart, I'm tired. I've worked the whole day. There is food in the freezer. Let's warm it. You say, no. I want fresh food cooked. You are not showing grace. You are not showing goodwill. And because you are not showing goodwill, when you come and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I take. God says, you take what? You take what? You take nothing. Why? Because you deny others grace, your grace is denied. Now, it's not only husbands. I think it works also from wives to... It's either way, insensitivity, where there's no grace. One partner makes a mistake and you hit the mistake on his head. Hey, and you make that mistake. And you know, no grace, no grace, no grace. If there's no grace in your marriage, you are hindering your prayer. That's why you go to the customs office and your thing is not going through. And you're going on prophets. They're giving you prophecy that the thing is going through, but you go, nothing is going through. Check. Is there grace in your marriage? Is there grace? All of you men who don't respect women, your prayer is being hindered. That's why life is hard. See, these days life is hard. This is a lie. I don't know what. I don't know. The devil is a liar. Life is hard. No, you are the liar. The devil is not a liar. You are the liar. You are the one showing no grace. You know, I wish I wrote the Bible. I wouldn't have written that. So, constant insensitivity will frustrate the grace of God in our lives. Grace is powerful, but it can be cut short. It's almost like electricity supply is powerful, but you can switch off and there will be no flow. If you want God to be gracious to you, be gracious to one another. The third thing that undermines grace in our lives is becoming defiled by bitterness. By bitterness, when you can't forgive. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 to 17. Pursue peace with all people, and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of bread sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Becoming defiled by bitterness, a root of bitterness. The Bible says that you will fall short of the grace of God. You fall short. So, and why is that so? Jesus told the parable of the servant who was forgiven, who couldn't forgive his fellow servant, and he made a pronouncement that that person was now going to suffer not just the consequences of his first sin, but greater than that. Jesus was saying that if God has forgiven you, you must forgive others. When there is bitterness in your heart, you undermine grace in your life. Life will give you opportunity to be bitter. I'm telling you. In this life, in your family, your brothers, your sisters, husband, wife, former boyfriends, former wife, former husband, former boss, former team player, former people. Former people. I'm telling you, they are former, but there's bitterness in your heart and you can't let go. You can't let go. The Bible says you fall short of the grace of God. His grace is sufficient, but you've switched it off. It's almost like God rolls out that bridge, and the bridge was extended to you, and you took an axe and cut the bridge. So the grace is extended, but it's falling short by your bitterness. God's grace can be undermined by bitterness. Bitterness is something we should all watch out for. And the last thing that we have to watch out for is from verse 16 onwards. It says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of bread sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit a blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Disregarding what God has blessed you with. When you disregard or disrespect what God has blessed you with. That was Esau's problem. And interestingly, Esau is called a fornicator and a profane person. No, he didn't commit fornication in the general sense as we know it. And he wasn't profane, he wasn't using profanity. How was he a fornicator and a profane person? The Bible says he sold his birthright. And that to God is fornication and profanity. He took something that was valuable and disregarded it. He sold his birthright for a meal. When you disregard what God has blessed you with, when God blesses you with wisdom and you use the wisdom to cheat people, when God blesses you with beauty and you use the beauty to break people's marriages, when God blesses you with wealth and you use the wealth to go after other people's wives, you are taking the blessing of God and profaning it. And grace is withheld from you. That was Esau's problem. And remember, the Bible says later he came back asking for what he had lost, and God didn't give it back to him. God couldn't trust him. So God has blessed you with money. What are you using the money? Are you profaning the money? Are you profaning your beauty? Are you profaning the promotion? Some of you Christians get promoted, you become big people, and you become evil. Sometimes you wish some Christians never get promoted, because they are better Christians when they have no promotion. They are better Christians when they are broke, because they will serve God and then they get rich. And you say, where did that come from? This humble person threw his weight about, destroying other people, undermining other people, subverting justice. That's profaning. Esau was blessed with a birthright. One day he gets up and says, what's the birthright? It's nothing. Just take the birthright, give me food to eat. He eats the food, and Bible calls it fornication. Many of us think fornication is only when we have premarital sex with somebody. That's fornication, but that's not the only fornication. This too is fornication, because you're taking something that is sacred and undermining it, profaning the gift of God. So the question is, how come grace is so abundant, but we don't seem to see grace working fully in our lives? I've shown you some of the reasons why. The grace of God can be undermined. The grace of God can be made in vain. The grace of God can be cut short. We can make ourselves fall short of the grace of God. We walk on that bridge and we realize we've hacked a part of that bridge, and so we fall back into the valley. It wasn't that the grace was not extended. You cut the grace. Husbands, watch it. Wives, watch it. Each one of us, watch it. Pride will hack the grace of God. Profanity will hack the grace of God. It is sufficient, but if you cut it, you fall short of it. And I pray that each one of us will commit not to make the grace of God of none effect in our lives. Grace must work in us, because it is grace that enables us to receive the Spirit, to live perfect, to minister the Spirit, and to see miracles at work in our lives. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Live and Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otobi, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otobi. Email otobi@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.
Joy 99.7 FM.